Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is episode 138, and we're recording Sunday, February the 15th, 2015. My name is Jason, and joined by my co-host Heather. Howdy, Heather.
Hey, Jason.
I would like you to be my guest.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
So, Heather, how are you? Your post-Valentine Day? How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine. Double XP weekend. Yay! I'm supposed to be working on my Merc, but I haven't really worked on her so much.
So you're going down the road of getting the Merc for you.
Well, I have a level 15.5 Merc. She's a healer, but I think I'm just gonna learn Arsenal and do that because I don't wanna heal.
Arsenal's awesome.
Yeah, I finished my jug. I don't know if we talked about that in the last episode.
Or did you?
Episode.
You finished it.
Yeah, I finished it. What happened was we were going to do an ops, and I discovered that my assassin was locked out. I was like, oh my god, why am I locked out? And so my ops team, they don't really like to replace so much. So they said, okay, well, do you have any other characters that you can bring that are level 60? And I was like, no, but I'm two bars away on my juggernaut. So I did a couple, I did a few missions on Yavin 4, and then came in after they did a couple bosses. So I got to raid with my juggernaut, who I play as Benjamin.
So was it a thing going on Mumble, like, okay, how close are you now? How much XP do you have?
It's like, I have half a bar left.
Hurry up, come on.
So that was a lot of fun because I hardly ever raid with my juggernaut. I haven't raided with my juggernaut since I had the assassin.
Did you go Vengeance?
Yeah, Vengeance. It's so much fun.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people have been saying. And I know Michael, when we had him on there, was talking about you'd have a blast playing Vengeance. So, So what do you like about it best?
I like Ravage. I feel like I can be really lazy with Ravage, and I like the, you can get rid of the cooldown of Ravage with Shatter, so you have to kind of have to be good at doing Ravage, Shatter, then Ravage, but you have to make sure that you're not somewhere where you have to move. So you have to time it just right, because otherwise if you're in the middle of Ravage and then there's something underneath you, I mean, you should not finish your Ravage, because then your healers will just hate you.
What are you doing? Get out of the stupid.
Yeah. But up next, I should be leveling up my Merc. That way, you know, I think it'll just be easier because it's ranged, but I still love my assassin. I'm still going to do the majority of my raiding with my assassin.
Nice. Yeah, actually, my nephew, he's thinking about switching around his assassin to go DPS instead of tanking, so.
Oh, nice, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what we started doing with his new guild that he's in. He's decided, he's kind of like the DPS instead of having to worry about the tanking. Although, I told him, you know, cause he's actually a pretty good tank. And so I told him, you know, if they're really, you know, at the upper end of the guild, you know, they're full with tanks and stuff, you might offer, like, for new people coming up to help with, the older raids, to run people through, because he knows, like, you know, all the ones, you know, Terror from Beyond and Scum and Villainy, all those, Eternity Vault, he knows all those, the fights and stuff like that. So I said, you might offer to run people and just comm runs and stuff like that. So so they're actually starting that, I guess, Monday. So he's going to be running that, so it's kind of cool. And, well, speaking of the nephews, me and the nephews had an adventure.
Oh, yeah?
Comic-Con. Yeah,
where did you go?
Right there. Well, I'm in Indiana, so we went to Indianapolis, so that was nice. So
oh, okay.
It wasn't too far away, about 2 hours. So, went up there. I went and stayed up Friday night, because we just went the Saturday. We just got the tickets for the Saturday. Then we stayed up Friday night, and then so we wouldn't have to get up so early. So that was it was so cold. Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you for making it back to record the podcast.
Of course. I got in late last night, but it was well worth it. I actually kind of crashed before I started reworking some of the editing for today, but you know, had a good time. Let's see, I got to see, I went to three of the panels. Jake Lloyd from Phantom Menace, little Anakin, little Annie. We saw him.
Of course, oh God, how old is he now?
He's finished college. I can't remember what age was. Yeah, I know. Isn't it just like, what? How is he not? Oh my goodness. Yeah. So it's pretty good. Actually, we get talking about the Bulk interview. I got a little more to talk about Jake on that. So, and then, Michael Rooker. Do you know him from Guardians of the Galaxy? And,
oh no, I still haven't seen that movie yet.
Oh, you haven't seen? Oh.
No, I have the DVD sitting on my desk actually, but I don't know. Have
you watched The Walking Dead?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
I'm not big on that either, but he was there and he's just wild and crazy guy. He came out in the crowd and instead he's like, yeah, well, I usually start this Q&A right off the bat, but I'm not going to let you guys just ask questions. I'm coming out to you. So he went all around the crowd and unfortunately we got some good pictures. But my nephew didn't get him uploaded to me, so I can't show him today. But, yeah, so he was just wild and crazy. He was answering all kinds of questions. Karen Gillian, also from Guardians of the Galaxy, who played Nebula, she was there. Also, she's in Doctor Who. I'm sure a lot of people are into that. I've only seen a little bit of that, so, I can't attest to her acting in that one, but she's been in Guardians of the Galaxy, and she was there. That was packed. So, Jake Lloyd's was a little smaller panel. Michael Rooker and Karen's, they were in the big ballroom and they were just huge. And we could have stayed right after Karen's and stayed for the William Shatner, but the boys and I kind of decided we wanted to get back to the showroom floor and check out more of the artists and stuff like that. So that was really cool. Yeah. But, so of course I got some different artwork and different things. And while we're running around the show, you know, checking out all the costumes, which once again, I didn't have any of the pictures. My nephew did happen to see one guy, cause I was like, one of the things I noticed, I didn't see anybody really from the 501st, which usually they have a big presence of these things, but we did happen
I saw a picture on Twitter from somebody that went to that Comic-Con. I think they found somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
We train them young now in the Empire. That's the guy there. Wizard World took this picture, and my nephew actually did see this guy, and I missed him. I was like, how did I miss him? But, you know, so we had a young trooper there, so that's good to see that we got the young ones that are coming in the Empire, so that's good to see. But, no, it was a great show, and I will try to get some pics up, you know, maybe next show I can show some or something like that, but, it was a great time. I love those. And this was just the first year for Indy having the Wizard World one. So, that was really cool. But the awesome part was my mom and dad are on the opposite side of town because they were going to pick us up after we were done with the show. The opposite side of town, they happened to run into Bob Hall, who is another comic artist. And he's done the Avengers and a bunch of them. So they were running into a place to try to get my dad's phone charged. So just crazy enough, they bumped into him at this place, and he was signing autographs and different things like that. So my mom and dad got to talk to him, and he was just talking about the Comic Cons and stuff like that. And my mom he made three different, little artworks for me and my nephews.
Oh, wow.
So he was on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper for all three of us. And he drove.
What did you get on yours?
Mine was Wolverine, and he signed it. So he signed it with 2 Jason. So I was like, so let me get this straight. I paid all this money to go to Comic-Con, and my mom goes across town, and she meets Bob Hall and gets personalized autograph. I was like, awesome. So that was pretty cool. So, I mean, as great as Comic-Con was to get something like that, always personalized stuff is always kind of cool. So it was great. I had a good time, and so I'm sure the nephews, my sister said they keep going on and on about it. So it was a good time.
Yeah, I'm surprised that there wasn't so much Star Wars, especially with the movie coming out, but maybe Maybe it was just too close to Star Wars Celebration or something.
Well, I do know that in March, Indianapolis has another Comic-Con. Now, it's not associated with Wizard World, but they will have another one, and Carrie Fisher's going to be there. So I might try to get up to that one also. I think that's the 10th through the 13th. So I might try to get up to that one.
Awesome.
So, see. But back to Star Wars The Old Republic. Guess that's what we have to talk about on this show. So, but no, I had Double XP weekend. I haven't really got much into that. I did get on some last night after I did get some of my work done for the show. I got on a little bit last night and finished up one of my bounty hunters of Power Tech. Just trying to get him a little leveled up a little higher because I had left him on Hoth because he's my cyber tech. So pretty much he was just my crafting guy. It's like, here, make more armor for me. Do I get a gold rating? No. You get craft. So I got in and took him out and was like trying to finish up a little bit of Hoth last night. But I kind of crashed early, but I did a little bit of that. So I'm maybe try to get in a little bit tonight. Although I got a guild notice that said, oh yeah, by the way, we're running a 60-man story mode of Ravengers, and I haven't done that yet. And so I was supposed to sign up, so I don't know what time it is today. So I might try to hurry up and see if I can get in on that.
It's like right now.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Aww. Oh, yeah, by the way, Jason, you missed it. So, anyway, but hopefully, I have a great guild so they can carry me through. Speaking of, stuff new in the game, I guess we can jump on into the news, I guess.
From the NewsNet. And beyond.
So, of course, everybody by now has seen the quote-unquote official roadmap and from Bruce McLean. And so, everybody knows by now, it's nothing was really changed that much from what we got at, PAX South, where you were at, Heather.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same thing, but I guess they had to actually release it on their own website and not just, have it as Cantina notes from other people. I think that they actually just wanted to post the roadmap for everyone in their actual news. So I'm not surprised that nothing has really changed. They did change something on there. There was a date for the springtime update, they just changed it to spring on the roadmap. So there's not a hard date that they're sticking to on that date, just spring.
Yeah, I got some of the highlights there from what was actually posted on the website. February 12th, of course, that was when we got 3.1, which is already in game. And then they got update 3.2 has now moved to spring. And the one thing that was kind of surprised, and I don't know, but the Togruta now seems like it's moved out of 3.2 to now and beyond. So that's kind of interesting. But now for me, I didn't have as big a problem with the amount that was put in there on the roadmap. My only thing that I had any bit of problem with was the fact pretty much we'd heard this at PAX South. I was like wondering why. What took them exactly so long to get it on the website?
Yeah.
Because I really think if they would have got ahead of this and maybe put it on the website, like right after, they're going to read it next day or even that Monday when they get back, boom, it's on the website. I think they might have got ahead of a lot of this. I mean, of course, everybody, when they see a date changed, everybody's going to flip out. But, creating anything like a video game or something like this magnitude, everything has to remain fluid. But I think waiting the 2 weeks, I think that was kind of put everybody on edge.
Yeah, because then you kind of think it's something new, and then you read it, and it's like, well, I heard about this already.
Yeah, so that one, I think just the timing of it, I think, really.
Yeah, otherwise it was good, I think. I think it's only for the first half of the year or the beginning of the year, so for people freaking out that there's no mention of anything, any PvP or operations or anything like that, I would calm down. They only go up to springtime. Yes. So there's the whole rest of the year that they could do. And especially with Shadow Realms being canceled, I know that, you know, that's kind of a sad thing for the Shadow Realms team, but could possibly be a very, very good thing for Star Wars The Old Republic. They have more people working on the game now, and this could really help with bringing in more content to the game throughout this year. So maybe they just don't know how much they have to work with at this point with the influx of some new bodies.
Yeah, I agree on that. And in fact, the other thing about that, it even the small amount we did get, and for I predict it's probably just going to be for the half year, like you said, I think that we're only getting an outline. It doesn't give you all the details we're getting in with all those things. So I kind of think that even when they mentioned the planet is iced, we don't know exactly what all is coming with that. So I think, you know, hey, this is an outline, folks, just like, you know, an outline for you get at the beginning of the year for a class semester or whatever. It's kind of like your syllabus. This is kind of what we're going to go over, but you don't know exactly the amount of detail they're going to go through. So take a deep breath. I think that, you know, when things, like you said, the Shadow Realms shutting down and more of those resources, which they specifically said those resources are going to SWTOR. Were you surprised to see that by Jeff Hickman saying that?
No, because I don't know. I didn't think they should fire everyone.
Oh, well, no, I just
or lay them off. Yeah,
I just mean in the actual event of them talking about closing down one game, they actually mentioned another one of their brands. Usually that doesn't happen, and I was like, so they're
pretty exciting.
Yeah, to me, it's like they're actually putting themselves out in, you know, they're in the public saying, we are taking these resources and putting it to this game, Star Wars The Old Republic, because we feel that it is a strong game right now. So I think that's kind of putting their seal of approval on their really backing the game. So kind of the good news for me, I think. So that's, I'll put it on that for the roadmap and stuff like that. So I think it's just kind of a wait and see thing. But I guess the next thing that we came across was kind of something BioWare got ahead of things. And that would be the Season 4 reward tease. It kind of gave us a tease at the weapon set that they were going to give us.
Yeah. It's really nice that they are motivating players right away instead of kind of waiting half the season and showing, okay, this is what you could win. Thanks for already playing kind of thing. It'll kind of get people to play right away. Yeah, the only bad thing on my part is I don't really like any of these weapons personally. I really like the ones from last season where they were all on fire, and these ones are just kind of meh.
Yeah. Heather wants fire. She doesn't want pirate stuff. She wants fire. Well, yeah, I think that's the one thing you're going to run into, and you're not going to please everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
But the nice thing about it is, instead of, like you said, like the previous years, it was kind of like, oh, wow, I wish I would have played. I could have got that. But now it's like, well, okay, I know what they're coming out with the weapons. So I'm going to try and go for that. So actually, you know, looking at the weapons, I mean, I talked to you earlier this. I really like the pistols. For me, instead of like pirate pistols, it looks to me like, and I mentioned this, like old sci-fi stuff, kind of like the old Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon kind of thing like that. So I kind of think that's kind of cool. So trying to create a character like that, so.
And if you look at the lightsaber, you can see the, you know, like they had in the preview of the movie with the two, what do you call that? With the handle sticking out? The cross guard.
Cross guard, yeah.
Yeah, there's a cross guard on the single lightsaber, but it's not like lightsabers in the cross guard. It's just a normal cross guard.
Now, it might just be how they drew the concept art, but have you noticed that the double blade lightsaber, one of the blades is actually longer?
No, I didn't notice. It could be the angle.
Could be the angle, and it could be just concept art, but I kind of thought that'd be kind of cool to actually make it a little different, but you never know. But I do like the whole idea of this is something that harkens back to them talking about being more in the communication, and I think this is a good sign that they're getting ahead of things. So I think that there is, they also talked in there is going to be a unique color crystal and a butte of a mount, whatever that means. But I like the idea that they're getting ahead of it. I think this was actually released before season four.
Yeah, so, yeah, season four started on Thursday, and this was released on the 12th?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Or, I mean, this really was released on Tuesday, and the season started on Thursday.
Yeah, so that was way ahead of it. I like that. So good job, BioWare. Good job on
that. Well, technically, the season was supposed to start on Tuesday, too, but
yeah,
at least it's at the beginning of the season and not down the line. That's the main thing.
Correct. And then, of course, like Heather mentioned, we did have, you know, update 3.1. It went live, and that went Thursday. It got pushed back a little bit. And not all the details are why. I have a speculation, but, you know, who knows? Probably maybe something with the double XP, possibly, that was going in with the weekend. Who knows? But either way, they got ahead, found something that was going to cause a conflict, got ahead of it. So I think that's a good thing. They got ahead of it and said, nope, we're not going to release it yet.
I'm actually very excited to try out the hard mode flashpoints. I haven't tried them yet. I haven't tried them yet, but I hear that the hard mode flashpoints are really tough, and for pugs, it's difficult because you can't communicate with each other. I tried to get some of my guildies to do it with me after we did ops on Friday night, but we were kind of tired, so maybe I'll try it tonight after our operation.
Yeah, that's a lot of people I've heard. Let's see, I had a couple things I was going to show. Of course, got a couple animations came with when they talk about 3.1. There's a new trooper kind of outfit and their assault cannon. I thought it was really cool just because of the animation they put out with it. I thought in the emails. Let's see. New Revan type of armor set also. A little animation there also. But then, like you were mentioning, the Blood Hunt is one of the new hard modes. And there is... Everybody's talking about the first fight, I guess, is a real DPS check. That actually, I think they were mentioning in the forums, the adds can go enraged or something like that. A lot of AoE, you gotta keep moving and stuff like that, so that seems to be the fight, which when they talk about those two going hard mode in Blood Hunt, I was worried about the two Bounty Hunter fight. I thought that was gonna be the tough one. You know, that platform above the lava. I thought that was gonna be the tough one, but I guess.
That one's actually kind of annoying to do with your Jesus droid, just because you can't control where it goes, and so it might get stuck on that upper platform, and your companion, like, you can't control where they're going, not really.
Oh, really? The droid will go up where the other guy's...
Yeah, I've totally had that happen, so it's a lot easier in a group than in solo mode on that particular fight.
Get back here, you stupid GSI droid, come on!
And then I'm just, like, sitting there on the platform, like, hey guys, can you come back so I can do something? Because I can't jump up there.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I didn't know. But that. But yeah, I'm really excited to try it out in hard mode. I'm sure it'll be lots of fun.
Yeah, a lot of people though definitely said it's gonna be one you need communication with. So I've heard that. A lot of people are talking about that. So let's see. So anything else in 3.1 that you've come across?
No, not really. I'm sure as I play more, I'll come across something. But they released a new cartel pack from this pack or from this update.
Mm-hmm.
The Apprentice's Shadow pack, and I like one of the armor sets, the revealing armor set. It sounds kind of, you know, like it's going to be super revealing, but it's actually not. It's just kind of a nice the top and pants with cutouts on the side. Yeah,
I got the chest piece on that. I did get a couple packs myself when it came out, and you know, we talked about that before when I think Gildarion was on, Drew, and we talked about some of the things that were going to be coming out and that. We mentioned the Rishi Hut. I got the Rishi Hut.
Woo!
So I'm like, woo! Like, yes, my Rishi stronghold is coming complete. So now, in the next stronghold, BioWare, I'm just saying, Rishi, I'm ready. Make it. Yeah, I got it. And what else? I got one of the new mounts. It's all black. It's one of the vehicle mounts. It's all black. It looks kind of cool. I'm trying to think of some of the other things, but
There were some class changes also, but it wasn't any of the disciplines that I play, so it didn't really affect me. Because they did change the tank spec and for the assassins, but it wasn't.
Yeah, my nephew looked at that. At first it was like, oh, why are they changing that? Oh, they're taking away that. And then the other part, oh, but they're giving you that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, he's happy about that.
Yeah. So, lots of class changes. That's good. People are always saying, oh, class balance. Well, here you go. They're continuing to change it and have things on the PTS. So yeah. That's really good.
They made a little change, I think, to the engineering thing on the sniper, but I don't really play too much on engineering, so I didn't much on that one. So, the other thing, I forgot to mention this, in 3.1, they changed
the
loot table. They got some of it corrected. So,
finally!
I think they said, two pieces will drop, like it should have been. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are happy on that. The events for Torque, when you take on that, the Wookiee, the damage on the Torque, the floor events has been reduced in story mode. So, I'm sure a lot of people are happy about that. Although, well, you've done that fight, right? Against the Wookiee?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are talking about in the forums they would like them to raise the roof on the that area, that room. Just make it to where a lot of people are talking about their camera kind of bugs out. Is it because of the low ceiling in it?
Yeah, it's hard to... I guess melee it's not as hard when you can't zoom, but it's still... I like to see everything.
I like to zoom back out so I can see more of the things, so... Instead of just getting out of one, AOE thing, get off the ground, it's like, oh, I just walked into another. So I don't know what they'll do on that. Maybe that would be kind of interesting to get that kind of fixed, but who knows?
Another cool thing is the Gree is back next week.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting. They kind of threw me for a loop because on my article, I had to keep changing things around. Because at first I saw it where it was released by Tate, where the Gree was going to be back, and that was last week, before 3.1, and I was like, okay, and then I made the change, no, it's going to be Bounty Hunter, so how it came out, and the reason they had a little thing, kind of which was coming out, is actually both were coming out in 3.1, they're just a week apart, so the Bounty contract is going on right now, and then I believe the Gree starts, what is it, the 10th?
On the 24th.
Oh, 24th. So that'll be cool. That'll be
I can finally get my legacy offhand.
I think I will be close to getting legend this time with them, so I'm excited about that. So I can finish that up. And I like doing those short little ops with the two like kind of world bosses. Those are kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I like those. So they're kind of fun. And of course you like the Gree event because then you can find people in the PvP area in stealth and just kill. That's why you like it. We all know, Heather. And so that is kind of the news. And we're a little light on the news because I knew Comic-Con was coming up this week. But the other thing we got going on this week is we've got a couple of interviews. First off, we got our streamer spotlight, and that is with Valk. So me and Heather had a chance. It was last Saturday. We got a chance to talk with Valk, and so here is that interview. Start that for you guys.
So today on our show, we have someone on for our streamer spotlight. We have Valk, who produces a lot of videos on YouTube and is also a streamer. So welcome, Valk.
Hello, thank you for the invitation.
Hi, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Okay, so let's see. 30 years old, Bulgarian, huge fan of Star Wars since I was a very small child. Working as an architect in real life, playing the game since one of the beta stages, and still loving it.
So now you mentioned you're Bulgarian. For those that don't know, you do live in Bulgaria, right?
Yes, I have a very typical Eastern European accent.
And
or so I'm told.
Yeah. It is a great accent, by the way. So what's it like, because a lot of people, when they, for crazy reason, when they automatically associate games, they only think of North America. What's it like playing in the European theater, and, you know, what's it like with times and setting that up and playing on games like that?
Because I live in GMT plus 2, which is Eastern European standard time, sometimes I have trouble keeping up with late trading, but generally it's okay. I'm used to the European standards. Generally, most of the guys I play with are from the UK or at least Western Europe, and they tend to finish raids their time locally about 10, 10:30 p.m., which for me is past midnight. Not always easy to get up early for work the next day, but who cares?
Yeah, it's Star Wars, so.
And we have to deal with a little bit more latency and higher ping, specifically for Eastern Europe, because we do know, at least I think I know, that the servers for Europe are located in Ireland. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe that's correct. And I was what kind of, with the ping and stuff like that, does that really affect your streaming?
Not the streaming. Sometimes it affects my normal gameplay. My usual ping is about 65 to 75. Sometimes in peak hours, it may jump up to 90 or maybe even 100. Anything below 150, I consider normal for playing. I know that some guys who play with 15 and 20 will think that it's unplayable and unmanageable. But anything up to 100, 150 is actually fine for me. When I test things on PTS, I usually play with latency between 150 and 200.
Okay, I have nothing to complain about now with the ping I get, so.
So how did you start streaming?
Weirdly enough, I was looking for an alternative solution to record and archive my video plays, not to show it to anybody. At that point, I was just looking for a way to lighten the burden on my hard drive. Suddenly, people started showing up. The game wasn't really popular in summer of 2013. I mean, it wasn't very popular on Twitch. So not many people were visiting generally the whole directory for the game. And of course, I was a small streamer at the beginning. Nobody knew who that guy was. Nobody visited. Just slowly, with the help of friends, obviously, to build up and stack up the view count and the followers count, my name became a little bit known to the community. And after a while, obviously, when I started talking to different people, I created my social accounts. I started communicating with lots of different people. It became actually one of my main activities regarding the game. It's really not that much fun playing by myself offline without streaming or recording for YouTube anymore.
So you really got into it just as creating the videos kind of to analyze your own gameplay?
Exactly. Well, no, not really. I was analyzing my gameplay because of my local recording. As I mentioned, I was looking for alternative solutions. First, I started YouTube with exactly the same idea, just to have a backup for all my videos, because I didn't have a huge hard drive or a hard drive storage set up for myself. I didn't think that it would become something so serious for me personally at that time, about 2 years ago. And slowly, it just became more and more fun and entertaining for both myself and the viewers.
So now you have your YouTube channel. Now, I've checked it out. You do a lot of other videos besides just your gameplay videos. What other type of videos have you made?
My main idea is to do anything and everything that's fun first for me. If I do something that I don't enjoy, it won't be fun for people to visit and watch. So when I try of thinking what my next video content would be or a live stream, I always want that to be something that I will be enjoying doing and working on. First, my channel became known for gameplay videos and some PvP. Lately, I've gained a lot more subscribers and the demand started rising for more helpful videos to the community. I started writing guides. I actually started writing scripts for my videos because in the beginning, nothing was so complicated. It's easy to make a gameplay video. It's not so easy to write a guide.
The writing and stuff, getting it all laid out.
Exactly. if you say the wrong things, people may listen to your advice, do the wrong things, and then blame you. I'm desperately trying to avoid that. When people listen to my advice, I want to be exactly 110% sure it's a good advice.
Yeah, same thing with me on my blog when I write about the Sith Assassin. I'm so, you know, it's the only class I play, so I don't want people listening to something that's incorrect. So I try really hard to make sure everything I post
indeed,
is right.
Yeah. If you give false information, people might follow it and then get disappointed with what you told them to do or try.
So what's your favorite class that you like to play? I know you do multiple, but which one's your favorite?
I've always loved playing multiple olds, but I'm that kind of a person probably in real life. I've heard the theory that your main character is connected to your real character in real life. So I'm playing Sentinel. It's always been my main character. I did move to Marauder for about a year or so, but then came back to my Sentinel because of old friends. It is described as the reckless and just straightforward DPS class. I know it's not true because I played for over 3 years and I played similar classes in the previous MMOs. And I'm doing my best to prove that the Sentinel is reckless, but also wise when it's needed.
I like that.
I wonder what that makes me with the Assassin.
Deadly or something like that.
Dangerous.
There you go. That's good. That
and scary, seems. Maybe. Everybody should be scared from the stealth. You never know when they're going to jump on you.
Okay, so you said you were playing SWTOR in beta. Were you playing Star Wars Galaxies before that also?
I was. Unfortunately, my biggest issue with Star Wars Galaxies is that it wasn't available to Bulgaria and generally to Eastern Europe when it was released in 2003. I was a huge fan before the release of that game, and I was very eagerly expecting its release. But it became possible to play it in 2005. I was a teenager back then, or around the teenage years, and online shopping was not really that popular. So the first time I had a chance to start playing the game was in 2005. Very shortly after that, they pretty much ruined the game with a huge, ugly update that pretty much pushed off the major portion of the active community, and the game started to struggle for the next few years.
Yeah, that was my first MMO also, and yeah, I know that update of which you speak of.
Yes, but you'll probably back me up. It was a Star Wars game, it was our Star Wars game, and we had an awesome, small, but very active and fun community there, so we stood for the remaining however years. Yeah, in my case, I stayed until 2009.
Oh, wow. You stayed a little longer than I did, but I have to agree with you. The community was maybe small, but it was really great. Now, speaking of community, what about some of the changes that you've heard about BioWare and their take on kind of addressing and kind of participating a little bit more with the community, especially the people like the podcasters, the streamers, and the fan site?
I think this is an awesome idea, and if they keep doing it, they will keep upgrading it, and there is nothing better than a good connection between the developers and at least a small group of fan sites or people who are insanely active and pro the game they play. This is the best way to advertise it, regardless of how many bugs and glitches we have in the game with every new release, when we get lag or broken servers or anything else negative. The positive part of the community, the one that BioWare keeps updating, is the part of the world that will keep the game alive, and they will keep promoting the game. Whether they want it or not, they actually do promote the game. We're just playing it and talking about it.
Do you think there's some other avenues that BioWare should continue to do, or maybe attempt to do, with either at their outreaching to the community or even through their stream, like the changes they've said they've been making?
They have announced that, yes. I don't know exactly what is being planned, but I believe they should really pay more attention to both YouTube and Twitch. Maybe even more attention to Facebook and Twitter. Those social networks are the best way to advertise whatever they want to tell to the people. It's a lot better than writing a news article on the main site, because pretty much today nobody reads it anymore. It's so outdated. People just drove away from it. In terms of better connection, I believe they can do a lot more when it comes to being serious and the word in English is escaping my mind at the moment. Let's say just like this, just being serious towards their intentions, what they plan to do when they do it and how they do it. They should follow the same paths every time. No, don't make any kind of excuses. Don't postpone things. I'm not just talking about the recently released information with the bans and the exploits. If they do it one, they should do it the second time and the third time, and they should not change their minds in the middle of the process.
Consistency. Yeah. I
that
agree.
Was the word I was looking for, yes. Thank you. Hey, I'm not a native English speaker. I guess I have a decent excuse.
I speak pretty
better.
Good.
Yeah, your English is better than mine.
Yeah, I've only been learning and using the language for my half, maybe more than half of my life, at least 15, maybe 20 years.
So now, if someone just in the community was looking to get into streaming, what's some advice that you would give them, or, you know, whether it's equipment or just in advice in general?
Unfortunately, in terms of equipment, the requirements are very high simply because the game doesn't run smooth on anything. And when you add the streaming requirements just to be able to support the stream and all the other software, little software and programs that will come along when you keep streaming for month, 2 years, it's really demanding. In terms of advice for a true beginner, advertise yourself on the social networks, but don't bother people and don't spam. Do not start streaming for if you are looking for respect. Just do it for fun. The respect will come on its own by default without actually waiting or asking for it. Whether you're good at streaming or not, only time can tell. And if you're not good, there are plenty of ways to learn how to be good and to tweak and change the things that are you're doing wrong. Main thing about streaming or uploading to YouTube, which is very different. I don't know why people keep mixing those things. Streaming live is a lot different than uploading content to YouTube. But for both of those, it's important to have fun. When you don't have fun, it's very easy for the viewer to judge you and decide that you're doing this for a different reason.
Yeah, the people tend to see right through that, you know, if you're not doing it for fun or enjoying it yourself.
Absolutely.
So now, where exactly, Volk, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they watch your stream and your YouTube channels?
Oh, it might sound silly, but I'm literally everywhere. I have accounts with the same avatar and with the same name on pretty much every website and every important social network. My streams for the moment, and I plan to keep it so, are on twitch.tv. My channel is probably known to some and unknown to others. It's Volk Sotor. I upload very actively on YouTube. I'm trying to keep my content fresh and different so people will have a reason to visit both my channels. And obviously, I'm very active on Facebook and Twitter, not because I want... I started only because I wanted to advertise my channels and my content, but then I started meeting people, as I mentioned earlier, and it became my second nature, just sharing stuff with people I get to know without really getting to know them personally in real life.
We will definitely make sure we have all those links to your channels in the show notes.
Thank you.
Was there anything else you wanted to ask, Heather?
What can we expect from you next? Anything you're working on that we should be expecting?
Almost everything that I work on is related to the current state of the game and the regular coming or not coming updates. I don't have specific plans for what's going to be next. I do have some continuing series on my YouTube and Twitch that I will keep going until they're finished eventually someday, or maybe never. We'll see. I'm always trying to stay on top of the things and be familiar with every single change, whether it's related to my Sentinel or to any other character or just any other small or smallest part of the game. I want to know everything. And if I don't know something, my friends and people who visit my YouTube and Twitch channels, they always keep me up.
That's awesome. I've been following you and I'm enjoying watching your videos and stuff like that. So we'll definitely keep an eye out for that and for future things like that. So
thanks a lot.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on to our streamer spotlight, and we will definitely be in touch later, Volk.
It was a pleasure for me. Thanks for the invite.
Thank you.
That was a great interview. I enjoyed getting a chance to be able to speak with him. That was fun.
Yeah, that was excellent. So I'm so excited that we're doing the streamer spotlight, and I can't wait to see who we get next.
Yeah, and that's so. If you would like to be on a streamer spotlight, you definitely get in touch with us. You can get in touch with Heather@PrettyLittleSith.com or email us at CarillionRun@gmail.com because we'd love to get you on the streamer spotlight soon. And speaking of the streamers, I was mentioned in our intro there, Jake Lloyd, he's into the streaming, and he reiterated exactly what Volk had said when we interviewed him, that if you make sure, and if you're wanting to get into streaming, do something that you like to do and do it for fun, because, you know, people are going to see right through that. So I thought that was really cool. Jake Lloyd, little Annie is big into streaming and stuff like that, gaming and stuff, so that was kind of cool. Speaking of things that we had as far as the streaming stuff, I think, Heather, we had a little bit of news back from Death and Taxes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, I totally forgot to get a statement from them. But what happened was they got world second on Hard Mode Revan, which is really great. I'm so proud of them. I'm also really happy that one of the people on their team was a Deception Assassin. So I'm very excited about that. And we have a link to their announcement in our show notes.
Yeah, and I got the, just put it up there. There's a screenshot of them after they've downed it. So that was pretty cool. And like you said, I guess, is this the first time somebody's done it without having all bounty hunters or?
No, I think Zors did it, but yeah, Zors did it without all bounty hunters. So that's why they're world second.
Yeah, that's still pretty, that's awesome. That's very cool. So yeah, we'll definitely put a link into that on, you can see their little excerpt on when they did it. And you know, there, that is cool. So again, congratulations to Death and Taxes on world second. That's really cool. So, and, so speaking of the Guild Ready Check, it is Zernabog.
Zernabog from the Order of the Shadow Knights Guild.
Yeah, Heather got a chance to sit down with him yesterday because, well, I was at Comic-Con. So we'll go ahead and cue that up for you and let you hear about more of the Order of Shadows.
All right, thank you so much for being here today. So tell us about yourself and your guild.
Well, I'm Zernabog. I'm with the Order of Shadow Knights on the Ebon Hawk. We're with the Sith Empire.
Oh, very cool. So how big is your guild? Are there a lot of people? What kind of content do you guys do?
We're not terribly large. We're still kind of up and coming. We are mainly a PvE guild, so player versus environment. We do a lot of flashpoints, both story mode and hard mode. We're currently focusing on leveling up all of our members. We are starting to get into ranked PvP a little bit. We're really hoping to get into raiding here really soon, perhaps even conquesting.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys tried any of the new operations yet?
No, we actually haven't tried any operations as a guild yet.
Yeah, even story mode is pretty tough, so you'll want to be pretty organized with that.
Right.
So it sounds like you might be recruiting then, right?
Oh, absolutely. Especially people that have experience with ops or operations, however you would like to put it. People that'd be interested in some PvP also. Both of those areas we're still pretty fledgling in.
Okay. So if we wanted to join, how would we join the guild?
There's two different ways to do it. You can see us on our website, which is http://shadowknightsswtor.engine.com. There's an application there that you can fill out, or you can send an in-game message to any of our officers, Zarga, X-A-R-G-A-A, Ravenette, Ravenette, myself, which is Zernebog, or Phantom Apostrophe Menace. And we can send any invites out after getting that in-game message.
Haha, Phantom Menace, I see what you did there.
That one's not mine, but...
Oh, okay. So, Ebon Hawk, is that a PvE or is that a RP server or no?
It's RP, RP and a PvE.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Do you guys do any RP?
Certain members of our guild do, but as a guild ourselves, no, we do not. We don't say you can't, but we also don't have anything that's constantly going with it.
So, do you have a voice chat, like a Mumble or anything like that?
We just recently got set up on Raid Call.
Oh, very nice.
But we do offer a guild stronghold, a capital ship. We have a guild bank, 10% bonuses to XP and to your reputation.
Yeah, I know that's all people care about, you know, just does the guild have a 10% bonus? Great, I'll join.
Right, we hear that a lot.
Yeah. All right, well, awesome. Is there anything else about you or your guild that you wanted to talk about today?
I don't think so. We're really just looking forward to hopefully getting some new blood into the guild.
All right. Well, thanks, Zernabog. And we'll have all that information in our show notes with the links on how to join and the guild name so you guys can look them up.
Great. Thank you.
That was Zernabog from The Order of Shadows. That was a great little interview you guys had.
Yeah. It was great.
So, and once again, like Heather and Zernabog said, we will definitely have all the links and how you can contact them on the show notes.
Yeah, and if you're a guild looking to get your guild noticed, like Zernabog and everyone else that's been on our Guild Ready Checks, you should contact us about being on the show. If you're interested, you can send us an email to CorellianRun@gmail.com or to me at Heather@PrettyLittleSith.com.
And one thing we wanted to definitely hit on before we get into our quick mentions, a post by Courtney Woods. She has been on the community team for 4 years, and she posted, and this is the 13th, that she's got a job at BioWare, and she's going to be a writer for BioWare. So,
woo!
Yay, Courtney!
So, did you read the story she wrote, like the one with Darth Maher, and yeah. I think there was a second one?
Yeah, Aaron Sean. I got to read that one. I didn't get a highlight when the last one in my Holonet links, but the Darth Maher, yeah, I put a little bit of that in my Holonet links. I thought that was a great story, the Darth Maher. I think he doesn't get enough credit, and I thought that was great how she wrote that to kind of give the Maher character a little bit more emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. And but sadly, she will no longer be on the community team, but she still will be a part of the BioWare family. But that's awesome. A new job. To get to be a writer on a video game. That's kind of what I want to do. So.
Yeah, congratulations to Courtney.
Congratulations. So as we will head on into our quick shout-outs, like Heather mentioned about the Guild Ready Checks and the streamer spotlights, you know, definitely want to get in touch with that. And you can check our show notes and we'll have the links on how you can get that and email addresses. So, and, let's see. I think we'll go ahead and give a little shout out to those podcasts in the community.
Yeah. We have Utini Cast, Toro Cast, Escape Podcast, Bad Feeling Podcast, who just had their 1 year anniversary this week. So you should definitely listen to that show because we do a little special something in there.
Did you get to listen to that?
I haven't listened to the whole thing yet, but I've gotten feedback about it.
it was good, really great. The, did a lot of it. Some of the other ones that did their, little bits for the show, it was really good. So. Congrats again to those guys on their 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, and definitely listen to that episode. We also have Star Wars Beyond the Stars, Enmity Podcast, Healing Swator, Old Republic Radio, Tor Noob, State of the Galaxy by Death in Texas, and Hopecast, and Casual Core Radio by our friend Gildarian, who hopefully will be on our next show. Cross our fingers.
Cross our fingers, yes. We will definitely hope to get him on the show. It'll be March 1st. Wow, can you believe that?
I know, that's already almost spring.
That is crazy. That's crazy. I'm looking forward to spring though, so I'm excited about that, and excited that Drew will be on our show next week, so You know, if you guys see him, pressure him. He's going to be on there. You're already committed now, Drew, so you have to be on there. So please take a moment to leave us a positive feedback on iTunes and make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
You can also contact us through our website, KorellianRun.com, or through Twitter at KorellianRun, or to me and Jason on Twitter at Heather_PLS, or at JT_Hollownet. You can also go to our Facebook page or join our Facebook group. You can leave a voicemail on the website still. You can also leave your questions or ideas for discussion topics on Twitter or by email at KorellianRun@gmail.com. Also, we're looking for writers, so you can email jason@KorellianRun.com.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for us at Korellian Run Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Jason.
I'm Heather. May the Force be with you, or keep those blasters by your side, kid.
You've been listening to Korellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Heather say,
good luck, Courtney.
And transmission.